This is PCJ Radio International.
Media Network Plus, produced and presented by Keith Perron.
Well, hello, friends and listeners, and welcome to another edition of the program. We have quite a few things to get to today, but first I want to kick off with who is listening to radio? Now, this is a question, of course, I suppose that many people who work as directors or managers in radio stations around the world ask every day. Who is listening to us? There are people in the media profession who ask, well, who is listening to radio? Because we have the internet and we have television. Just recently in Australia, the ratings chart came out for radio stations across the country. Now, you may or may not know, but Australia has an election coming up on September the 7th. And they discovered that just prior to elections, radio ratings go up. We have this special report now from our good friend Richard Adde on who is listening to radio in Australia.
Hamish and Andy with you. It is the happy hour, one topic per day, and the topic today is Donald Trump.
Join the conversation now. Call 922-11882.
Excuse me.
Coming out of the walls?
We are asking the question, how'd you lose your teeth?
My dad keeps telling us that the dentist told him he's got great teeth for a bloke his age. Only four of them are his.
And yeah, I wish I could say something cool in Triple J at this point, but I'm just not cool in Triple J. I hope I got away with it.
Yeah, no, you did. That's all you needed
to say. I didn't embarrass myself, did I?
Yes, the radio ratings are out this week, and we'll get to them in a tick. But it got me thinking, how does the election affect radio listening? Steve Ahern's a long-time radio professional. He's editor of radioinfo.com.au.
It is different from normal. Talk radio stations always benefit in election time because people gravitate to find information, whereas other times they might have different listening habits. And other big events also make people change their listening habits on radio. For instance, in summer, when we're at the beach, we like music. Mm. And so music stations go up during summer. During the football final season, those stations that have live commentary get a boost. So there are a lot of seasonal factors that affect radio ratings, and certainly I think the election is one of them.
In the past, radio has been really critically important in elections. The atmospherics around this one is that it's less important than it's been before.
Yes, I'm not so sure about that. Yes, there's a whole lot of new media and everybody's on Twitter and social media is big, no question about that. But just look at the way that the ratings this week have fluctuated. And I think you see that radio still matters and people are still listening to radio and changing their radio listening habits because they're seeking information about the election.
I was just thinking in the past, though, John Howard famously used talkback. Kevin Rudd in 2007, if you go back two elections, assiduously courted FM radio to get that younger demographic. I'm just not hearing them in the same way this time.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. Perhaps this election there's been less of it, although, you know, there's a lot of politicians going on FM breakfast shows doing funny stunts with crazy morning radio announcers. It's still happening in each electorate.
Okay, well, is there any evidence at all that people are changing stations to avoid the election?
Yes.
I know some people are not watching things like 7:30 on ABC, just anecdotally, because they're kind of over the election.
I suspect there are people like that, although, interestingly, I don't think this ratings survey this week showed that. It showed that music stations have gone down and stations covering the election have gone up a bit. I mean, it's not as simple as that, but generally that trend is there. But I'm sure everybody who works in radio has heard stories from listeners ringing up to say, no more politicians, please.
Yes.
On the other hand, though, while those people might go away from those stations for a time, I think there are a lot of other people coming to those stations to get their quick fix of what's the update on the election.
All right, let's talk about these ratings, which some of which has overlapped with the election. The thing that really leaps out is actually counterintuitive and counter what we've just been talking about. So Triple J has won Perth.
I know, it's unprecedented, amazing, and a great credit to Triple J. They are the number one station in Perth. This is unheard of. And I think there is an election factor. I also think there are some other local factors too. But if it had only been Perth, then you couldn't put it down to the election. But if you look at Triple J across all the capital cities in the ratings, then you'll see that it's gone up everywhere. And I think Triple J, when the analysis of this election is done, will be seen to have played a big part in young people's voting. Now, this is an election where particularly Labor, with Kevin Rudd and his selfies, is trying to mobilise the young vote. Mm. And if you're young and you want to find out about information, you aren't going to go to those fuddy-duddy old stations like Radio National or those old-fashioned talk stations commercial radio puts out. You're going to go to a station which you're comfortable with, which gives you trusted opinions on music trends, but also gives you really insightful talk in programs like Hack and The Breakfast Show.
Right.
So I think that Triple J is, the success of Triple J is reflecting that the young audience is taking notice of what they have to say in terms of election coverage.
So I'm going to let slide the Radio National comment.
We're pretty
young and hip and cool around here.
You are, Richard.
But Triple J, you're saying, despite the fact that it's basically seen as a music station and music's the core of its identity, it's actually the talk that they do that you think may be having the effect.
I think so. And I think you can't just say Triple J is a music station. I think it's a youth station that is credible, that people are taking recommendations from about what music they should listen to, and they're probably also transferring that credibility aspect to the talk programs as well.
Steve, I want to ask you about ratings because I know we're going to change how we do ratings next year. Just briefly, what's going to change? What have we got and what are we going to get?
Yeah, what we've had before is a system that was developed 60 years ago where people were asked to voluntarily fill in a book, a kind of a graph book, which said Monday to Friday, list of stations, every 15 minutes, please tick this box if you listen. And that was terrific 60 years ago. But nowadays, you're really hard-pressed to get people to use pen and paper in that way for a survey. They want to be able to put their information in through their iPhone or their tablet or some other electronic device because it's more relevant. They carry it with them and it's easier. So that's the crux of the change. For the first time in 60 years, the ratings contract is moving from Nielsen, the company that had it, to a new company called GfK, which has the new contract. And it will measure pretty much in the same methodology. It will still be ask people to tick the 15 minutes by 15 minutes they listen to, but it will do it on new devices. So it's a kind of a step forward. It's not people meters. I mean, we have the technology where your phone or any kind of device the company would give you would actually listen to the station and would automatically track what you're listening to, but that's not this people meter technology because it's pretty expensive. It's one step towards that, I suppose, making it easier in the electronic sense to be able to register your listening habit.
So it should be more accurate, you would think. And I'm wondering if it will particularly improve things when it comes to in-car listening. I think apart from the US, we do more in-car listening than any other country. And it has traditionally been a bit vague, hasn't it?
It has. And evidence from this kind of monitoring in other countries shows that in-car listening and also breakfast show listening go up because you can capture it more easily. There was another factor too. A couple of years ago, a survey in Tasmania was abandoned because the survey company couldn't get enough young people to bother to fill in this paper and pencil diary. So there's been a worry that while the old methodology may still be okay, young people just can't be bothered. So again, this will help reinstate the ability to track young people's listening habits.
Steve Ahern there, speaking with our good friend Richard Ade on who is listening to radio in Australia in lead up to Australia's general election on September the 7th. You're listening to Media Network Plus, coming to you from PCJ Radio International. Just before recording this program, we heard that Voice of Russia World Service would cease all shortwave broadcast on January 1st, 2014. Now, I want to talk about this for a moment because, to be perfectly honest, I'm not totally surprised. Many of you will remember the original name of VOR, which was Radio Moscow. After the collapse of the Soviet Union, the new Russian government under Boris Yeltsin changed the name to Voice of Russia. But that was really the only change that took place. Most of its programming continued to be the same boring, dull, monotonous tone that it had been under Radio Moscow. A number of years ago, the Russian government formed RT, or Russia Today. This is a satellite 24-hour news channel that broadcasts around the world on cable systems and also on domestic terrestrial digital networks in some countries. Now, their style is, of course, attracting a much younger audience and a wider audience than VOR ever could. A number of people that I've spoken to who listen to VOR on a regular basis have said, well, the government may have changed, but the sound of VOR remained the same. There was a period a few years ago where they tried to make VOR sound more hip. One of the things they did was, well, add music in their newscasts, which sounds very strange because the person reading the news sounded the same way as they did before. So, the Voice of Russia World Service leaving shortwave January 1st, 2014. Like I said, I'm not totally surprised. People are wondering how long, of course, the station will remain. I would predict less than 15 years, and that's being optimistic. Because Voice of Russia World Service's audience has also diminished. Now, since we only found out about this, since we started recording the program, we'll have more in the coming weeks. One of my favorite things about doing this program is to find out about unique, strange, and very odd little radio stations around the world. Recently, our good friend Judith Ritter went to visit one in Miami, Florida. Now, Miami has around 70 radio stations, but this one really comes nowhere to where the other ones are. It's broadcast from the Miami Children's Hospital and broadcast internally to its patients. It's called Radio Lollipop. For more, here's Judith Ritter.
Most radio DJs don't look like Dazzling Dave, especially when he wears his red Superman cape.
All right, Radio Lollipop friends, Dazzling Dave back here, and I have a special request for my friend, Juntin. In 310, wanted to hear a little bit of Lady Gaga, Poker Face. If you have something you want to hear, 4444, that's the number. Let's hear it.
Dazzling Dave, a.k.a. David Berry, is one of a trio of volunteer DJs tonight. He's with Nutty Nora and Paradise Patty for what they call Terrific Tuesday. The idea for Children's Hospital Radio comes from Great Britain. There are similar stations in Australia and New Zealand. But here in the U.S., there are just two, in Houston and this one in Miami. As usual, the studio is buzzing. One small child dances and smacks a tambourine. Another clatters through in a plastic car.
Meanwhile, other patients who can't leave their beds call in from their rooms, make requests, and try to win contests.
All right, Dazzling Dave here in 2 East. We're excited to introduce Paradise Patty!
Oh, yes, it is time to introduce the winners. In 2 East, we have Barrington in 202, Samantha in 205, oh, Samantha, Alana 216, and Raymond, he is the man, in 218. Hey, congratulations!
And some kids get to try out being DJs. That's what lanky blonde 12-year-old Katrina is about to do. She's in the hospital for an eating disorder, a problem momentarily forgotten.
This is Cool Cat Katrina. And next for Tamaya in room 332B is Wide Awake by Katy Perry.
The music ranges from hip-hop to Disney. And for now, Katrina's mom, Wendy Novak, says the studio is the happiest place in the hospital.
When I heard her on the radio, it made my heart soar. Yeah, it's a great feeling.
And the medical staff thinks it's great, too. Takes the kids' minds off being sick. The closed-circuit radio show is broadcast throughout the hospital, and volunteers go room to room to animate activities and contests that are announced on air.
Hi, Radio Lollipop. Can we come in?
Yeah, awesome. Hi.
3-year-old Ava sits in a chair in a tangle of tubes and wires. Her mom, Nicole Crawley, says Ava's a big Radio Lollipop fan.
A few months ago, I think it might have been after she had chemo 5, she was recovering from having a fever. Girls came around and said, Radio Lollipop's open, come on over. And so that's what we did. We took the IV pole, we went right over to Radio Lollipop. Ava was the star. It was great.
You're listening to Radio Lollipop.
I wanted to put in a song request.
Ethan has chronic respiratory issues, and his visitors have to wear masks. He's stuck in his room for now.
I like the activities and the people. They come to your door, and they're like, do you want to participate in today's activity? And then if you win a prize.
For the parents and kids at Miami Children's Hospital, Radio Lollipop is a dose of joy and hope. And tomorrow night at 6:30, the party starts all over again. For NPR News, I'm Judith Ritter.
I'm wide awake. Yeah, I was in the dark. I was falling hard with an open heart. I'm wide awake. How did I read the stars so well?
Thank you very much, Judith Ritter. You're listening to Media Network Plus, coming to you from PCJ Radio International. Now, I want to take a few moments to tell you about something that we've added to the PCJ website, and that is a listener's survey. As you may know, beginning in May, we started weekly shortwave transmissions to Southeast and East Asia from 1330 to 1430 UTC on 11835 kHz. Now, for the month of August, we did take a short break, but these transmissions are returning September the 1st. So, if you're wondering where we were, don't worry, we were taking a small break. The transmissions are returning September 1st, 2013, on 11835 from 1330 to 1430 UTC. Now, we've been collecting a lot of data from these transmissions, so we created a survey, which takes less than 1 minute to fill out. If you go to www.pcjmedia.com, on the front page, you will see a link that says, come take the PCJ Radio International Survey. Click here to take the survey. That's all you need to do. Now, there are 10 questions. The questions are, and I'll run them down now so you know in advance. Do you enjoy PCJ Radio's shortwave broadcasts? What do you think should be the main target areas for PCJ Radio International? What content would you like to hear more of on PCJ Radio International? How do you listen to your radio content? How would you best describe PCJ Radio International? What are your favorite PCJ Radio International programs? And hopefully, if you're listening to Media Network Plus, you'll check this one. You have multiple choice on some of these answers. What direction would you like to see PCJ Radio International take? This is one where you don't have a selection of choices. You just write in your own comments. What do you think of PCJ presenters? Do you think it's a good idea to have a weekly propagation forecast in Media Network Plus? And the final one, what are your final comments about PCJ Radio International? So just go to www.pcjmedia.com, and like I said, you'll find the survey on the front page, so do go and fill it out. Now, we've had a lot of people commenting and sending program ideas for us here at PCJ. Somebody thinks that we should first broaden our scope of coverage on Media Network Plus. I'm just kind of wondering if you can define more what you mean by broaden our scope, because we don't just exclusively talk about shortwave or radio or television. We also talk about human rights in journalism and broadcasting and many other things as well. So if you can be a bit more specific on that one, because I'm not quite sure what you mean by that. Anyway, this is Media Network Plus coming to you from PCJ Radio International. Stay tuned.
The British DX Club is one of the world's leading DX clubs, with hundreds of members both in the UK and around the globe. BDXC produce a comprehensive monthly magazine called Communication, covering all aspects of the DXing hobby. The BDXC Audio Circle is also available and is a monthly program of DX catches and general chat about radio. For more information, please write to the British DX Club, 10 Hemdene Hill, Caversham, Reading, RG4, 7SB in the United Kingdom, or visit the website at www.bdxc.org.uk. That's www.bdxc.org.uk.
Hi, this is Ian McFarland. If you're an SWL and feel nostalgic for the good old days of shortwave, you'll be interested in three sets of CDs that Colin Newell and I have produced. The first gives you 100 idents and interval signals from stations around the world. Then there's the foreign language recognition course that will help you identify the myriad languages that you can hear on shortwave. And the newest CD set, a look at the past 20 years in shortwave broadcasting with some of my broadcasting colleagues, and a look into the future. The proceeds from the sale of these CDs are in aid of a charity, a food bank for the less fortunate in my city of Duncan, British Columbia in Canada. Learn more about these CDs on the dxr.ca internet website. That's dxer.ca. Good listening, everyone.
Keith Perron here from PCJ Radio International. Are you looking for a new portable shortwave receiver? Well, if you are, I would like to suggest Texan. Texan is one of the world's leading manufacturers of shortwave radios. Popular radios like the PL660, S2000, and so many more. Texan radios can be found at a number of fine electronic retailers worldwide. For more information, go to www.pcjmedia.com and click on the Texan banner for more information on all their models. Texan, enjoy broadcasting.
Hi, this is Bob Zanotti. Do you miss Swiss Radio International? If so, I invite you to visit my website, switzerlandinsound.com. Colorful and informative radio features about Switzerland, its destinations, interesting people, politics, culture, and even the two Bobs. Switzerlandinsound.com, where English language radio from Switzerland lives on.
All right, well, now time to take a look at propagation and what we can expect over the next 7 days. Here's Dan Hensley.
Here's propagation from August 24th to August 30th, 2013. August 24th to August 27th, we'll have a 10.7 centimeter flux of 105. August 28th to August 30th, it'll be 100. An A-index steady at 5 all week long from August 24th to August 30th, and a KP-index steady at 2 all week long from August 24th to August 30th. This week, we are seeing a resurgence of sunspots. 10 new sunspots have peppered our sun. Those are 18, 17, 18, and 24. They are present but passing out of view. In view is 18, 20, 22, 23, 25, 26, 27, and 28. Sunspot AR1825 has a beta gamma magnetic field that poses a threat for M-class solar flares. Solar wind flowing from a coronal hole should reach Earth on August 23rd to 24th. Visit www.pcjmedia.com/RP. PROP for an extended version of this week's propagation forecast. Back to you, Keith.
All right. Thank you very much, Dan. Well, we're now out of time. If you wish to contact us, our email address is mnp@pcjmedia.com. Once again, mnp@pcjmedia.com. If you want to listen to this program again or catch all past editions, visit our website, www.pcjmedia.com/Media Network Plus. Next week, there are two editions of the program, as there is on the last weekend of every month. The one you're listening to right now, the 30-minute weekly version, and the monthly 55-minute edition that airs on some partner stations around the world. And the best way to describe that show is sort of a best of. That's right, a best of as well as new material that we featured over the past month. So that's next week on this program and also the other program, which is, of course, the same show. I'm getting confused, aren't I? Well, it doesn't matter. It's the end of the week. What can I say? We're going to leave you today because many listeners to the program said they enjoy when we play songs about radio or songs that had a radio connection. Well, just recently, Swedish Radio released a number of pop archives recorded in the 1960s, and they've been issued on CD of some of the most influential pop groups from the 60s recording at Swedish Radio in Stockholm. So we're going to end off today with one of those sessions. It's the group The Searchers recorded for Swedish Radio in 1965. And it's a great number, and I hope you enjoy it. So until next time, friends, this is Keith Powell wishing you well, saying so long, take care, 73 and 88 to the ladies.
Smashing audience.